Okay, hi everybody, and good afternoon here from the Temple of Silence in Finland, Helsinki area. I can, after all, it appears, continue with program number 11 today, and I'd actually like to continue with program 12 because I think it will finish off this series, and then we can see about the next, which I think may involve a discussion of the first initiation compilations. So here we are, and this is indeed the 20th of June 2018. Now we're into another section that is discussing the second initiation as the release from emotional control, not from emotion, and as we did see, the emotions can arise, but they are put in their proper place, they are understood, and they are not allowed to inhibit the proper cooperation with the plan. Let's see, we saw that just a minute ago, didn't we, as we looked at this? Yes, the old physical attitudes and desires may still, at times, even assume control. Selfishness may continue to play a potent part in his life expression, even though that blow against selfishness really is being struck at the second degree, but underlying these and subordinating them will be found a deep dissatisfaction about things as they are and an agonizing realization of failure and the discipline of learning from failure, the uses of failure, does come in. So there is no perfection as we are climbing. When will perfection finally occur? With respect to the cosmic physical plane, I guess we might say at the ninth initiation. That's the climax, and number nine is always representing the end of the series. We therefore come back to the problems of the astral plane, of the emotional level of consciousness, and to the second initiation. Now, let me just make sure I have my little blue bracket here. This initiation releases men from emotional control, not from noticing that emotions may arise and control at times, and enables them to shift their consciousness onto mental levels, and from that higher point of focus to control their normal and well-developed emotional attitudes. If you will turn back to page 340, you know, on which the list of initiations is given, a very good list, and I suppose it's Rays and the initiations. Page 240, yeah, here we go. Why not take a quick look? Oh, that's not correct. That's not what I wanted. This is correct. There must be a way to fix that, you know? I think so. Anyway, R&I, 340, that's a page to which I like to return often. We have here the baptism, the solar plexus center and the sixth ray are involved, and the factors of dedication at first, followed by glamour, the inevitable result of mixing the fires of dedication and the water of feeling, and then devotion, which is a higher type of attitude, still possible to carry glamour with it, but releasing us from some of the more commonly felt and experienced types of glamour. If you will turn back to 340, you will find that the three keynotes are given for this second initiation, dedication, glamour, and devotion, and for its technique. I would like to call your attention to them because they present those keynotes which give us the clue to the world problems and indicate at the same time the solution and the way out of our present impasse. So I suppose when there is a true devotion, it has the element of selflessness in it, more so even than dedication, is a fairly willful attitude, probably without as much heart in it. These three words are dedication, glamour, devotion. Dedication resulting in glamour, which is dissipated by devotion. Now, that may be an unusual thought to us, but the true type of devotion is a higher type of Neptunian phenomenon. And we have to remember that we are lords of ceaseless and persevering devotion as monads. And the soul has its own devotion. And we begin to understand, as souls in incarnation, something about the devotion of the soul to the divine plan, not the devotion of the personality to the fulfillment of its own desirous ends. So these are the keynotes. Forget not that nationalism is the result of dedication to a particular national setup and produces the glamours which lead to world difficulty. But what is the perspective of the soul in incarnation, really, and how does it realign itself and merge with the soul on its own plane? That we should have the right kind of devotion to the soul and to the soul in others, responding to the devotion which the solar angel has to us and to our welfare is clear. So we have to discriminate between these two words, dedication and devotion. Devotion, in the sense discussed here, runs deeper. Okay, what about this next factor, freedom facing the second degree initiate? Freedom is the keynote of the individual who is facing the second initiation. Then Uranus would be involved if it is freedom and some appropriation of the stream of energy from that Lord of Liberation, or the Lords of Liberation, and that one particularly who represents freedom, and its aftermath, who is facing the second initiation and its very important aftermath, to see if the individual can, in fact, free himself from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Freedom is the keynote for the world disciple today. It's not the guru relationship, you know, and it's not the relinquishment of one's own responsibility to serve the higher authority without question. Maybe internally that can exist, but there's certainly the freedom to do so. And it is freedom to live, freedom to think, freedom to know and plan, which humanity demands at this time. That is why the fascism and the totalitarian systems, which demand allegiance to a certain rigid system of thought, whether political or religious or economic, that's why that cannot be allowed. So the will is coming in here, we understand, as Vulcan does its work with Mars. And that will is the factor of freedom, one's own will as a tiny aspect of the divine will, which is working out from the hierarchy in which one lives and moves and has one's being. So we do remember here as well the necessity to attain freedom from rigid idealisms and freedom from control of mass emotions. One has only to look at the films surrounding the Nazi rallies in the old days in the 1930s to see that people were swept along by a tremendous kind of limited, unwise devotion or dedication to the Nazi ideologies. They were not free from those ideologies. They were being used by those ideologies, which were being fed by the counterforce that was obsessing the major leaders in Germany at the time. And we, I think, can see this all the time, frankly, when we have dictators, people who love themselves excessively, love their lower nature excessively, those dictators coming to power. After the second initiation, the disciple must be free of any pull from the personality before standing before the one initiated. Well, that's a tall order, especially when there is the occasional failure and when the emotions can assume control. And when we find that even initiates of the third degree have their own types of higher form of selfishness. The second initiation freed the initiate from the astral level of consciousness, the astral plane. There's the freedom to think and to see and to understand and not simply be swept along the plane of glamour, of illusion and distortion. Notice how illusion, which is normally a mental factor, is also associated with glamour. Any one of these words, a glamour, illusion, maya, they can be associated with any level and with all three simultaneously. So, freedom to exert our own will, which is a necessary part of the divine will. Unless we exert that will, something from the will of the greater being will be missing. So that's where totalitarianism, standardizing so many people and denying them the search for their own particular contribution, is such a grave threat to the expression of the will of the higher being. Okay. So this was an essential experience, because the initiate standing before the one initiator for the first time at the third initiation, and we want to say as a star, not yet the eye and not yet face to face, must be freed from any magnetic or attractive pull emanating from the personality. Well, this is the rule. This is the is the rule and the hope. And occasionally there are falls from this high requirement. But never again, as we are told, will that which arises be allowed to sweep the disciple off the track and prevent him from doing what he knows, you know, to know, to express, reveal, what he knows must be done. They are perhaps seen as a nuisance and a reminder of old conditions, but they are never again allowed to dominate. And they're what's called ancient authority is not obeyed. Okay. Right. Well, you know, the opportunity is so great these days to be swept into, you know, by the ashram, we might say, at the second degree, to enter the stream and to be swept by the positive current, which is added to one's own efforts. I'm reminded of the analogy of the airports and the sort of people movers, which they have had to take more than in the past. The people mover moves along, adding a certain speed to one's own efforts. So one naturally moves faster. And that is the effect of the ashram. Many relinquishments must occur before one can stand before the initiator, and the symbol of these relinquishments is the encounter in the desert between the world, third ray of the flesh, second ray, and the devil, first ray. On our own level, of course, the Christ dramatized this in a much fuller manner than we can possibly dramatize it, and you kind of, or go through it, kind of wonder that who was there to write it down. You know what he said. Maybe later he somehow reported to his disciples what had happened when the negative powers came to him in three different forms. It's a great opportunity we're passing through at this point in human evolution, and group initiation is necessary, and so much swifter unfoldment for the sake of our ability to help is being offered to us if we could but realize it, you know. Freedom from idealism, I'm just... at the present time, I don't know when you'll be listening to this. This year is 2018, and I'm basically an American citizen, and I'm watching our Gemini sixth-ray personality play out in the most violent kind of idealism and contention with the red versus the blue. And, you know, to me, it's at least obvious that red is the color of Mars and blue is the color of Jupiter. And we're dealing with the solar plexus and subdiaphragmatic tendencies versus, however incomplete and ineffectively expressed, the blue of the American second ray soul. I don't think you could imagine Abraham Lincoln, the great avatar of America and of, I would say, the United States, espousing the selfish red position. Red means many different things, of course. In China, it means one thing. In the United States, it means something else, you know. So we always have to appreciate the context in which we live. I suppose through harmony through conflict, that personality is ruled by Mercury and the fourth ray, and things will be worked out. But it's just amazing to see blind idealism on one side or another at work. Although I think on one side the soul influence of the blue is much stronger, but still there's a lot of sixth ray contention operating at this time, and a limitation of vision, and nowhere near the capability of taking the second initiation for the country. Has it taken the first? That's a question we have to ask. I live partially in Finland now, and there are those who think that the Finnish war, which was a huge trial, the winter war for Finland in 1939-1940, was an occasion in which the country was able to take the first initiation. So it is theorized by some. So many were the sacrifices, and despite all indications to the contrary, the country remained with integrity and continued to prosper afterwards, and is now known for some very good things in education and non-corruption and so forth. So it's a slow process whereby we emerge into the calmer and safer waters after turbulence, and the same for nations. Now we're comparing the second and sixth. I don't know if we've done this before, but maybe I would like to, first of all, to point out that the sixth initiation is to the master who stands before the planetary logos, what the second initiation is to the disciple. Well, in terms of the initiators, and basically they all are the planetary logos, we have the fifth initiation overseen by Sanatkumara, the sixth initiation overseen by an unnamed entity who's part of the planetary economy and energy system, and the seventh initiation by the planetary logos himself. So I guess if we want to begin with the Sirian initiations, the first of which is the fifth, we would say that, yeah, the sixth initiation is in the position in this Sirian series of the second initiation below in the planetary series. The fifth initiation of revelation, the sixth of decision, are the higher correspondences to the first two initiations, which are regarded by the Lodge on Sirius as initiations of the threshold. So, you know, we would say the Christ is a true becoming initiate in relation to the system of initiation on Sirius. So we are to have this carefully in mind. Much earlier in this treatise, I made the comment that the second initiation was, with its evidenced control of desire, we might say, you know, the reorientation of desire, as Master Moria might see it, indicating right choice, you see. We control desire and orient it properly by choice, and this is the great decision ruled by Libra, was the threshold to those levels of impression, of contact, and a future ascension out of the cosmic physical plane altogether, which are the sevenfold goal set before the master when the sixth initiation, the true ascension, is consummated. It is for this reason that this initiation is called the initiation of decision. But now this is kind of a sevenfold goal. Yes, sevenfold goal. Now I understand what it is. Sevenfold goal, one of the seven paths on the way of higher evolution. So let's put it that way. One of the seven, and now nine, actually. Oh, how about that? Seven paths on the way of higher evolution. Anyway, we have to... What is the cosmic desire that is rightly oriented at this time and helps the individual choose correctly which of the seven paths or seven ways, or now nine, upon which he will venture? Well, these are things that lie before the masters who are teaching us and who are just learning about these matters in a truly profound way. We don't know. We know that Sanat Kumara has asked the present Chohans to register their choice and then stay around to help with the planetary emergency. And we don't know what that choice has been, but some indications have been given. The Christ will be following the Ray path until eventually the path to Sirius. Seems like a reversal in a way, will be followed by him. We haven't been told about the Buddha, but that probably the path to Sirius, which originally was to have been his, will not be his. Maybe those are the two ways upon the way of higher evolution that we have been told about. Kind of wonder with Master DK when it comes time to make his choice, and, you know, who are we to say anything, but he's such an expert on the seven rays and on the extraplanetary energies that you wonder whether the fifth array path might not be his. But then again, we're not in any position to confirm or deny that. It's just a speculation, maybe an interesting one. So anyway, the control of desire from the cosmic perspective is required at the sixth degree, and then some kind of supervision from the seventh level is analogous to supervision from the mental plane. So supervision in a way from the logoic plane helps to bring what monadic desire into right alignment with inherent intention, because there is only one path that we can take out of these seven or nine that is the correct path, and sometimes mistakes are made for reasons I don't think we can understand. You know, we're told about the very understandable mistake of the Buddha. Okay, here's a little bit more going on. A coming test through which disciples, the disciple proves is fitness for initiation. We just want to know the requirements, don't we? We want to understand what we really have to do. Don't want to be glamored into some kind of a false notion of undue acceleration, which is just fancy, you know, wishful thinking. In someone's life, there comes an emotional crisis. Sounds like Scorpio to me, in which decisive action is taken, and the disciple proves his control of his emotional nature. That crisis must mean that he has emotions going in at least two directions, and he makes a choice about which is the proper direction, even though he may have to decide against the emotional current, which would bear him on towards the wrong decision. This may take the form of some great and vital test, covering a brief time, but calling forth every resource of wisdom and a purity that the disciple possesses. You know, we are made to use what we have. I don't know what's going on here, but okay. Brief time, calling forth every resource of wisdom and purity. I'm going to have to fix this. We are made to use what we possess. So let's see if I can do this in the proper way. Number three. Amazing. All right. I don't know about this battle that's going on between me and my computer on occasion. I'm sure the gremlins are a little bit active. Okay. Or it may be a long and protracted emotional strain. I'm reminded of the, what do we call it, the friends of the Christ, who carry the wisdom aspect, actually, in order to be called that, we are told. And one of the was a DHB, a candidate kind of for the third initiation, was called a friend of the Christ by the Tibetan. And a number of lives of difficulty and sort of unresolved situations are preparation for this status of friends of the Christ. And we might, you know, think that's all going to be love, but no, the wisdom aspect tends to be that which they possess more tellingly even than the love aspect. Okay, so this may be emotional strain in difficult circumstances carried over many years of living, but in the attaining of success and in the achievement of clear vision and right discernment through right discrimination. Notice, remember that discernment is on the third subplane, and thus the higher mental plane of the mental plane, and discrimination is on the fourth. So right discrimination, maybe between the soul and personality, is the foundation of right discernment, which takes place in the realm of the soul on the higher mental plane. And then we can always see the spiritual factors at work behind many complexities. We recognize it. We discern it amidst all of the confusion. Ah, there's the soul at work. But in the attaining of success and in the achievement of clear vision and right discernment, the disciple testifies to his fitness through the for the second initiation. So let us become, that's what we say, let us become discerning souls in incarnation, always able to see soul at work amidst the many forces which are also at work. So can we see the soul even though many factors are at play? And can we pick it out, so to speak? Can we discern its presence and its tendencies? Well, do we, as we look at our life, have we been through such a test? Or has there been a more prolonged period of emotional strain and when that test came, well, you know, oftentimes this is sort of a crisis of recognition, earlier part of the life, and you make a decision about whether you're going to go in the way of the soul, and then later in life comes that crisis of expression. Well, just look at the life crises that may have confronted you. I think in my life I had a couple of huge decisions, and I think I decided correctly when there were many forces which would drive me towards incorrect decision. Overall correctly, but with some lack of proper technique, I think. We have to honestly evaluate how things really went for us. Okay, so this is the crux of the entire situation. And when the man has mastered the forces opposed to him, he is ready for the second initiation. Opposed to him, these are generally glamours and conditions of Kama Manas. When he has mastered these elusive, let's call them delusive, emotional currents, hardly detectable. Anyway, elusive. He is ready for the second initiation, which marks the release of the soul in incarnation, really, because the soul on its own plane is not really needing that kind of release, marks the release of the soul from the prison of the astral body. So, you know, what we desire and what we feel imprisons us, rather than what we think. What we feel and desire imprisons us. And clarity of thought does not yet free us from these compulsions. Henceforth, the soul will use the astral body as a vehicle through which love and the general Buddhic energy can be expressed and mold desire into line with the divine purpose instead of divergent and vagrant desire. I'm reminded of Sagittarius, you know, it's so associated with the second degree, we're liable to shoot our arrows in all directions and become the knight errant, chasing after many forms of desire and off on many erroneous journeys. But eventually, we do see that one pointed path that leads to the goal. And our desires then gather together and are targeting that path, which leads to plan and purpose, and then we increasingly can be useful and trusted and no longer a hazard, you know. Our desires can lead us in all kinds of hazardous directions, and you think about Sagittarius as a sign of risk-taking and accidents and all kinds of untoward things happening because there's not enough care exerted. Well, eventually, there really is care exerted, and the one-pointed disciple does emerge. Here is another factor, the second initiation, testing and purification in Scorpio. The earthly material desires of Taurus, of lower Taurus, of course, or Taurus appropriated by a lower type of form, must in due time be brought under the influence of the purifying water in Scorpio. Okay, and baptism by water, or a name for the second initiation, needs a preparatory period of testing and purification, and this the experience in Scorpio is intended to give. So, test, trial, and triumph. What is it? Struggle, strength, and Sagittarian attitudes. These kinds of words cluster around the preparation for and the taking of the second initiation. Likewise, fire and air, we're looking at the fixed cross, I guess, Aquarius and Leo must also be blended. And thus the four elements, as well as six out of the seven rays, must all play their part in conditioning the man in Scorpio for the final stages of the path. Remember, the Scorpio effect in terms of testing does last even through the third initiation, and then in terms of a dire relinquishment unto death, I think it's involved with the fourth initiation. I did notice, interestingly, Uranus in the chart, in Scorpio, both in the chart of Sir Francis Bacon, who we can assume was a fourth degree initiate, becoming a fifth degree at some time, and was it Krishnamurti? I think Uranus and Scorpio. And I wonder about Sir Thomas More. I think I had his chart somewhere here. He was certainly a fourth degree initiate and lost his head in the process, the man for all seasons, as it were. And okay, let's see what happens here. Sir Thomas More, M-O-R-E. I hope that's correct. And I wonder whether I'm going to find that. Yeah, I'm going to find that. And let's see if he's one of those guys that had that as well. Not sure. Oh, yeah, Uranus in Scorpio, too. So, you know, there's so many people that have these indications, but they're not ready for the actual experience. But there's Krishnamurti, deemed to be passing through the fourth degree or becoming fourth degree initiates, or Thomas More having to decide between the welfare of his country and the whims of Henry VIII, and having to make a crucial sacrificial decision, which meant that he would be sacrificed. And Sir Francis Bacon, who was much maligned for, for venality and other forms of bribery. We don't know how much of that was set up, but some of it was, I guess. And let's just try this one, too, just for fun. Sir Francis Bacon. Okay, there it is. Good enough. Let's see if I'm correct on that. Sometimes I invent things, you know. But there it is. There we have it again. And we have Uranus and Scorpio. Yeah. And I know that, I'm pretty sure that's the case with Jeddu Krishnamurti. Let's see. You know, I don't want to be making things up. Krishnamurti. Okay, let's see. That's good enough. Jeddu Krishnamurti. And let's see. Yeah, there's Uranus and Scorpio again. So I think that's very interesting. That is not to say if you have Uranus in Scorpio that you will be an arhat. But here we have four. Well, I think Sir Thomas is a master now. Krishnamurti was getting close, you know, let's see. So Thomas More, Krishnamurti, and, you know, I'm having a senior moment here. I can't remember the one that I, was it Bacon? Well, yeah, Bacon. And Bacon was certainly a fourth degree initiate, and now he's the Mahachohan, so his travels were very, very fast. Well, okay, this is the end of this compilation, but I did pull out, so the end of a second initiation compilation, but moving on to some other references, and if I notice that, in fact, I've repeated them, I'll try not to. Okay, so here is Here are some additional references. And I kind of went through my collection of references to try to see if I had left anything out, you know. And apparently I had, in fact, left some of these out. I'm trying to line them up, you know, so they, well, I'm not going to succeed here so much, I think, but at least we're close enough. So this is also always something that is important, and I'm not going to do so much annotation. I'm just going to sort of read along. There's just a few, and maybe we'll go into it more later. Spiritual instinct, the lowest aspect of intuition, indicates readiness for the first initiation, and this we discussed in Illumined Mind and Spiritual Intelligence, the definite signs that a man can take the second initiation, not that he will necessarily, while spiritual perception, what did I say, Illumined Mind and Spiritual Intelligence for the second, spiritual perception or intuitive instinct, it's not yet the full establishment of the Buddhic faculty of intuition, indicate preparedness for the transfiguration. So Sagittarius, that intuitive sign, does indeed lead to this Capricornian initiation. We're talking here about second initiation and the possibility of people knowing themselves as a group. The remaining units will be those who are treading the path, right? And at, well, I think I dealt with this before, the Masonic degree of the fellowcraft, the FC, as DK refers to it, is definitely a group initiation, and it deals with a brotherhood and love between the units, and I think that's strongly a second degree kind of indication. I think we begin to discover our fellow workers, not only as souls upon the higher planes, but out in the world, working in a way similar to our own. Now, what about the sixth petal here? Through the action of the rod, as wielded by at the first two initiations, and this is by the Christ, the two outer circles unfold and the energy of the two is set free. And the two sets of force, you know, knowledge and love of a kind, not necessarily the highest form of divine love, but certainly a kind of magnetic attraction, which allows us to work in groups. And the two sets of forces embodied in the six petals are coordinated and become interactive. So that's really important too, the different abilities representing by, or capacities represented by each of the petals interact. This stage of petal adjustment succeeds upon that earlier called unfoldment, and has to do with the simultaneous action of the two tiers of petals. And the reason I'm mentioning this, and I have mentioned it elsewhere, is that the full unfoldment of the sixth petal indicates the second initiation just, let's see, that's English for the United States, I don't want that, I want something else. Just as the full unfoldment of the fifth petal indicates the first initiation. Okay. Well, I think and the full unfoldment of all of the nine petals indicates the third degree. Now let's talk a little bit about suffering. I'm not sure we did. There's suffering between the second and third initiations. I'd have to get the context here, but a great transforming agency is set in motion by the quality of devotion. remembered dedication and glamour, followed by devotion. And the solar plexus center becomes not only a clearinghouse, you know, for all these energies below the diaphragm on their way into the heart center as they become drained of any kind of congestion which is overactive and prevents the higher energies from unfolding, higher chakras from unfolding. Okay, so not only a clearinghouse, but the main factor in lifting both physical and emotional active energies from below the diaphragm to the heart center. And this is the kind of lifting preliminarily which occurs at the second initiation. Lots of things are going on at each initiation. There's always an overlap of tendencies. In other words, the complete lifting of the sacral to the throat, although the main type of lifting occurring at the first degree is not completed at that degree, at least evidence from how people behave, and the complete lifting of the solar plexus to the heart is not completed at the second degree, maybe more at the fourth degree, you see. Maybe we have to skip one, maybe we have three initiations involved before completeness occurs. Anyway, this is a constitutes a long process which the aspirant is forced to face in the interim between initiations. And therefore, I think, you know, the discussion of taking many initiations at the same time obviates the possibility that the aspirant can work on these things and make them into actualities, not just have them conferred, but actually work upon them until they do become factors which are demonstrated. So a long process, maybe a number of lives is involved here. We are told, and it is factually true, that the longest period between initiations is that to be found between the first and second initiation, though sometimes, I must say, though sometimes is mentioned that one or two lives will do. And I think we're going to see that as we go down here, even right here. I'll get to it. Initiation human and solar 120. At the first initiation, he becomes definitely aware, definitely of the part, relatively inconspicuous, that he has to play in his personal life during the period ensuing between the moment of revelation and the taking of the second initiation. This may involve one or more life or several. Several. What is several? One or more life? Or several, but not necessarily 10, 20, 30. You know, I think the time equation is somewhat up to us. I see I probably won't, you know, really finish this whole thing in number 11, but let's see. So anyway, a long time, the long period, or the longer period does ensue. But, you know, we're told on page 84 and 85 of Initiation Human and Solar that no long period is involved. You can take the second, third, and fourth in the same life, or the next. Third and fourth in the same life. Fourth and fifth in the same life. Sometimes, you know, when I read the story of Milarepa, I felt he went from an initiate of the second degree all the way to mastership in one life. It was an amazing story about that great yogi saint of Tibet. Okay. So this is the truth which must be faced, but it should, and you know, because people are in a hurry and they don't want to face this. They may find themselves between the first and second degree and they don't want to face that, you know, that they have a longer way to go before the second degree is really achieved. Remember what he said, you know, to ISGL, you could take the second degree now. Therefore, we, as you see, we rate you highly. Okay. But it should also be remembered that it is no means the hardest part. This always stood out to me somehow. I don't know if I identify with this, but anyway, the hardest part for the sensitive feeling aspirant is to be found between the second and the third initiations. Well, okay, you know, we can take that for what it's worth and we can apply it to our life as we understand that life to be unfolding. Excuse me. It is a period of intense suffering. I know a lot of people could really grab a hold of that and say, oh boy, is that true? Period of intense suffering, of the penalty of applying factors of glamour and illusion. You know, we don't know they are glamour and illusion. We act them out and we pay the price. Of the penalty of applying factors of glamour and illusion, of pronounced involvement in situations which, for a long time, remain unclarified. It's a bit like in astrology, you have that aspect or angular relationship between planets called the semi-square, the 45-degree angle, or maybe the sesquiquadrate, is that at the 135-degree angle? And things are frictional, but they don't clear up with those two types of relationships. So, situations which for a long time remain unclarified, and of a steady moving forward as best, the beleaguered, beset, aspirant can, and, you know, even being initiated of the second degree here called an aspirant. We note that, don't we? We note that, okay? Under the influence of right direction, there's the right orientation of Sagittarius and spiritual determination, an early aspect of spiritual will, and I think there's a lot of Taurus in that, that moving forward with a early condensation of the will. This he has to do, usually to do in the dark, working under the action of the logical understanding mind, because he does have spiritual intelligence, he does have a degree of mental illumination, but seldom under the influence of inspiration, and this would be a Sagittarian factor, because inspiration, you know, in the series, zodiacal series representing the nature of meditation, Sagittarius does rule inspiration, just as Scorpio illumination and so forth. You know, we can move backwards, forwards, memorize those because I think they're important. Nevertheless, the good work goes on. The emotions are brought under control, and let's just say, and this shows that even at the second initiation, the emotions are not quite under control, but they are largely subdued in comparison with how they ran the man before. And necessarily, the factor of mind assumes an increasingly right importance, because after all, the third initiation has to do with the third plane of the mental plane, plane of mind. You know, increasingly, the mind is the guide, and the human being is essentially Manus, essentially Mercury. Light, flickering, and as yet uncertain and unpredictable, pours occasionally in from the soul. And this is, you know, between the second and third initiations. The second initiation and the third initiation, but occasionally, via the mind. Adding frequently to the complications, but producing eventually the needed control, which will lead to the result. In freedom. Let's just say a still higher type of freedom than demonstrated at the second initiation. We remember that we just discussed the kinds of freedom that you have to have at the second initiation. And remember that section on freedom. It's also raised initiation, but I think it's page 687, I hope so. There it is. And here are the different types of freedom. And it's marvelous section, which will show us how we become liberated. Freedom from the ancient authority of the threefold personality, making it a climaxing moment in the history of all the initiates. But initiation two, freedom from the control of the emotional nature and the selfish sensitivity of the lower self, a major blow against a major blow against selfishness, and then, you know, any one of these could be contemplated, and it's really, really important. We're still pretty blind, you know, and maybe freedom from blindness is occurring here at the Revelation Initiation. I've dealt with all of these, you know. They should be on Makara and increasingly on YouTube, and well, if you have the patience, if I have the patience, you know, to read through these matters and really think about them, we have to study carefully and pay attention, closer attention to Master DK's words. We're getting close, and I'm not going to finish this, but I am somehow going to go ahead, perhaps, and it'll be a bit longer. Okay, so I think we get the idea. But the idea that the real light of transfiguration is not yet there. The real light of transfiguration, which is light sublime, is not yet steadily present. Okay, so we want that kind of steadiness, which is pretty much stabilized once we pass the temptations in the desert, and once we truly enter the possibility of polarizing our consciousness within the causal body or at will, within the egoic lotus at will. And imagination will, of course, help us do that, but also the relinquishing of the desire for things of the phenomenal subplanes. All right, let's just kind of go on here, because I'm kind of determined to finish this, you know. The greatest problem facing aspirants and disciples prior to the third initiation is that of comprehending the nature of identification. Well, prior, oh goodness, that looks, you know, so correct. This concerns, in the first instance, the relation of the self to the self, capital S, the greater self, and of all selves to the all-inclusive self. Well, what are the selves? Personal self, soul self, and the great planetary or solar systemic self, and ultimately the universal self, about which we can know nothing, but we can kind of theorize. So three levels of self are here involved, and they're all related levels of self are all involved and all ultimately identical. The greater is the lesser, and the lesser is the greater. So if we find ourselves really fascinated by the factor of identification, maybe this is a hint to us, and by the time the third initiation is reached, and certainly by the fourth, when monadic contact is really well established, the factor of identification should be well on its way, and by the time we reach the sixth initiation and become truly monads on their own plane, capable of focusing on the monadic plane at will, our habitual place of focus, then identification is permanently established. Of course, there may be deeper and deeper forms of identification as we think of the vastness of the universe and all the different beings, and maybe they will come to light as we progress upon the way of higher evolution. I have just a few more pages to go. But I am going to go ahead, if you don't mind. And then that will finish number 11, and that will finish this work, I think, on the second initiation. This is about the Lord of the world, because just about 1 hour, we're just 30 seconds or so shy of about an hour of work here, and we will simply continue. So, this brings us to the third group of petals, or the unfolding of the will or sacrifice petals based on intelligent purpose and pure love. Let's not forget that this is not desirous love. This is a pure love. Pure love leading to sacrifice. The force in this group calls in a different factor. It's the manu, that of the manu, as well as the force of the bodhisattva. So notice that love is not discontinued, but pure love is the example. So let's remember when we talk about the sacrifice petals, how much love there really is. And the desired effect is produced through the full cooperation of the fully awakened ego, aided by his own master, if he is evolving in a cycle wherein hierarchical effort for humanity takes the form it does in the present one, kind of paralleling the work that the solar angel is doing for humanity in the present chain, which it didn't do in the previous or moon chain, and the manu, okay. His own master and the bodhisattva, I suppose, and the manu. Eventually, after the second initiation, the Lord of the world comes in as a factor, the Lord of world power, fully expressing itself in love. So this is a very important synthesis of combined factors. Now, we have spent our hour, so anything after this is, right, so this one I already did. This business about suffering and, I've done that one. So that's just a little bit less that one has to do. And I think it's best to just go on. These are not necessarily being prepared for prime time where you have to be exactly 1 hour. Okay, so there's just so much I feel I'm leaving behind. But that's a very important idea, that the sacrifice petals do possess the influence of the bodhisattva as well as the manu. So they're really a blend of love and will, in a way. So let's look at least let me write that down, the petals of sacrifice are a blend of love and will. And, you know, there's a point at which it's at the third degree, perhaps, that the knowledge petals per se begin to fade out, or at least, I would say, transfer their quality toward intuition. You know, knowledge becomes wisdom and intuition. And we're left pretty much with love and will, or buddhi and atma are sometimes considered to be the quality of the monad. All right, now here's accepted discipleship. The term, therefore, accepted disciple covers the stages of the first and second initiation. The great majority of those in the Tibetan's group were second degree, they were first degree initiates tending towards the second initiation. Maybe some of them, you know, were accepted disciples, yes, and pledged, and probationary initiates, having taken the second degree and tending towards the third. When a disciple has taken the third initiation, he is no longer technically an accepted disciple, although he still remains in a master's group until he has taken the fourth initiation. And we have to be reminded that in Master DK's group, apparently there are five masters at work. So what is a group at this point? And when we go through that stage of discipleship called the master in the heart, not the master in the heart, but the disciple in the heart, or there's the disciple in the aura preceding that, and then the disciple in the heart is still in the master's group and oftentimes represents the fourth initiation. But then there's the blending of the lights, as it's sometimes called. That's kind of the fifth initiation, and I suppose there's a consideration about whether such a high disciple, you're always a disciple of something, will be retained in the master's group. Here's something I've been saying along. Sagittarius is involved in initiations 1 and 2. We call it intuition governing aspiration. You know, you shoot the arrow of aspiration and it returns as the arrow of intuition. So it's early soul consciousness. It's kind of a reverse flow of an early Antikarana. The Antikarana is threefold, and part of it has to do with the mental unit and its relationship to the egoic lotus. So maybe that's what we're talking about here, but Sagittarius can also be involved in shooting the arrow of light, rapier-like, towards the monastic permanent atom in the spiritual triad, and therefore bringing on a fuller stage of soul consciousness. And the word here is eye vision. Well, you can find all this in my rather meticulous discussion, word for word, line for line, of esoteric astrology, you know, and maybe there's some value in it. If we went to esoteric astrology, page, page what? Okay, page 178, we would see exactly what we're talking about here. Cancer, Leo, Sagittarius, I vision, illumination, I realize, inspiration, not only from Sagittarius in the meditative sequence, but from Aquarius, group consciousness, I go forth, interesting. And it's so Sagittarian in its nature, and yet, well, both are Jupiterian signs, you know. Sagittarius in the ordinary sense and the esoteric sense is Aquarius. Identification, governing, liberation, divine consciousness, the consciousness of the monad. There's so much about the monad which relates to Pisces. I and the Father are one. So this is a very important little chart moving all the way from Cancer to Pisces and leaving out a few signs perhaps, but we know what they do. It's been a while since I've done that examination of esoteric astrology and probably said a lot of things that I've forgotten, but hopefully they are of some degree of usefulness. This one about the many lives intervening between the first and the second initiation, that's the first thing that is said. A long period of many incarnations may elapse before the control of the astral body is perfected. Well, it's not even perfected utterly. It can assume control after the second degree, but the general control is there, and the ability not to be really deflected for any length of time is also there. And the initiate's ready for the next step. Now, this one, we have, we're reaching the end here. This is what I offered somewhat in contrast to the idea that a very long period, as he says, may intervene many lives, not necessarily. And this reference from initiation human and solar does show that fewer lives may, after all, intervene. At the first initiation, he becomes aware definitely of the part relatively inconspicuous that he has to play in his personal life during the period ensuing between the moment of revelation and taking the second initiation. And this is the one that I think is so important because it shows how much the time equation is in our hands. There are rules, you know, there are rules, but not necessarily are they applied to everyone. I guess the laws are applied to everyone, but the rules are more of a generality. So this may involve even one life, from the first to the second initiation, or more life, or several, but several is a few. You know, a few, four or five, maybe six. After that, you're not into several anymore, are you? And the implication was that quite a few lives could intervene between the first and the second initiation, many. Now, he leaves this up in the air for a good reason, because we just can't make some kind of dogma out of this. we have to be able to consider who the individual really is. But here's one more factor and one more reference before maybe we can, of course, if I find other things, I may be tempted to go on, right? But before we call it quits in having discussed the compilations on the second initiation, the ceremony of initiation takes place on the three higher subplanes of the mental plane. Interesting, because you know, the causal body generally doesn't even move to the first subplane. Even its destruction takes place, apparently. So there's something to be working out here. Even its destruction takes place on the second subplane. At least that's what I've gathered from reading the various references. And on the higher three higher planes, according to the initiation. Well, it seems to be implying that the third initiation could be taken on the first subplane, but the first and second definitely on the second subplane. And I have seen the references indicating the causal body is not moving into the realm of the lowest part of the spiritual triad. Although the jewel in the lotus, interestingly, is sort of hovers, whatever that means, between Buddhi and Manas, maybe on the borderland, and these are all vibrational states, so we cannot think of them in the usual way of visualizing things. The five-pointed star at the initiations on the mental plane flashes out above the head of the initiate, and even that is so at the third initiation when Sanat Kumara is being represented, his presence being represented by the five-pointed star. This concerns the first initiations, which are undergone in the causal vehicle. At least one, two, and three are, and maybe some, you know, division of the process at initiation four. It has been said that the first two initiations take place upon the astral plane, but this is incorrect, and the statement has given rise to misunderstanding. So probably some of the earlier theosophical works have said that, and DK has to come along and correct things a bit. They are felt profoundly in connection with the astral and physical bodies, I suppose, when you wake up after having been in the presence of the initiator, and the lower mental also, and affect their control by the soul in incarnation, I suppose, eventually, controlled by the soul in incarnation. Soul in incarnation, okay. Soul, how can I find that? You know, it's so frustrating at times. Soul in incarnation, S-L-I-I, S-L-I-I. Will they give it to me? Will I be allowed or not? Soul in incarnation. All right. Maybe I can. So maybe the control is being felt by the, or being administered by the soul in incarnation. The chief effect being felt in those bodies, the initiate may interpret them as having taken place on the planes concerned, as the vividness of the effect of the stimulation of the first two initiations works out largely in the astral body, but let's just say, but not to exclude the physical body, correct? Okay. But not to exclude the physical body. But it must ever be remembered that the major initiations, I guess we're not just talking about these sort of minor group initiations which precede even the first, considered as part of a series of the great monastic initiations. So even the birth of the Christ in the heart is considered from that perspective major. It must ever be remembered that the major initiations are taken in the causal body or dissociated from that body on the Buddhic plane or Atmic plane. Now you kind of wonder how there could be at the fourth degree, there could be a dissociation and one steps out, as it were, onto the Buddhic plane to take that initiation, because polarization upon the Buddhic plane is possible after the destruction of the causal body. But by that time, the time of any possible atmic polarization, that's more a fifth degree factor, and the causal body has disappeared, unless, who knows, for some reason it has been retained. So that I find kind of a paradoxical statement, but, you know, as all paradoxes or seeming contradictions, it will be, you know, it will be resolved. Okay. Well. So this is then the end of Second Initiation Compilation, and it is program number 11. And the day is, so far, the 20th of June, and beginning where? We don't know. If I find more, and then we will have program number 12. But I didn't see the reason of just adding a program for 15 minutes. Well, okay, I hope that you have gotten... Whoa, that's not too good. I can see that I have been speaking more quietly than I should have been. Now we'll raise it, but it's been too quiet, and I'm sorry about that. Let's see if you know how bad it really is. Sometimes you make an adjustment and something happens, and that's that. But okay, now we're going to go on to the first initiation, unless I find some very compelling references for the second. And since this second initiation is the factor which is vivid in the life of so many disciples today, I hope that we got something out of that. And the juxtaposition of the different references has given us an idea of truths which can be recalled at the appropriate moment and help to guide our behavior appropriately so that we stay on the path towards this initiation and fulfill it. So thank you very much. This program is about an hour and 17 minutes or so, but that's how it is. And see you a little bit later. Bye-bye.